Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. You are awesome. You're making a difference, and I so appreciate you being here. When was the last time you heard those words? Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, you're going to get three specific ways to energize your team, boost productivity, and be a leader people want to follow. But before we get going, I want to take a moment to stop and recognize a milestone here. This is the 300th episode of Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. And in addition, I mean, that's quite a milestone. I'm pretty excited about that, 300 episodes. But in addition to that, it's also been a crazy week. Leadership Without Losing Your Soul has been acknowledged as a top leadership podcast on a couple of different lists. Again, repeatedly, but even moving up the ranks, and also most listened to podcasts, not just leadership podcasts, but among the top listened to podcasts of all kinds of podcasts. And I so appreciate you listening and sharing the show with leaders and managers in your life. You are what makes this possible, and I so appreciate you and your commitment to human-centered leadership. Also, we're just back from, as I'm recording here, a speaking tour in Vietnam. And so I want to give a shout out to some of our listeners in Vietnam, Ha, Vivian, Tron, Trin, and all the other listeners out there in Vietnam. Hey, hey, from the recording studio here. All right, well, let's get to it. In episode 300 today, we're talking about encouragement, how you can be that leader that is giving something to people that they are not getting anywhere else necessarily, but that we all need, and in a way that's going to be effective for them. And so when was the last time that you heard, you're awesome, that you're doing great, that I so appreciate you being here? For most of us, it has been too long. It's a human tendency for most human beings, not all, but most, we default to criticism, to addressing problems. It's just the way a lot of people's brains work. But if you can be a leader who masters encouragement, you'll unlock a source of energy and motivation that few leaders ever do, and you'll really make yourself stand out, and it will help your people too. But you know, I've had so many leaders and managers over the years, people I've worked with, people that I've consulted with, trained, and so on, who struggle with encouragement. And they'll say things like, you know, why should I encourage someone for just doing their job? And I have a friend named Jennifer back from college, and she shared a story with me that I want to share with you. And to know Jennifer, she's outgoing, she's gifted at making customers feel comfortable. And when she was younger, she managed a store for a national women's clothing chain. And she put all of those qualities to work there in her role. And her district and regional managers both had tapped her as a high potential, meaning they thought she was on track to become upper management. Then suddenly, with no explanation and no other job, she quit. And her managers were dumbfounded. A few months after she quit, she was at a local coffee shop and she ran into her district manager. He was in line right behind her. And they chatted for a few minutes and he told her, "Look, listen, you were one of the most talented, capable managers we had in the entire country. You had so much to offer, but then you left. Do you mind if I ask why?" And it took Jennifer a few moments to recover from the shock of it, as she tells me. And then she replied to him, "Listen, I quit because I thought I was failing. I thought you were trying to get rid of me." And he says, "What are you talking about?" Well, it turned out that in her time with the company, neither of her managers had ever shared any of those positives with her. They assumed that she knew, and instead what they shared was a weekly, sometimes daily list of things that either she'd done wrong or fallen short. And so that was what she was getting every day. So after she recovered from the shock a little more, she told that district manager, "Gosh, I wish you would have told me I was talented or capable when I worked for you." Jennifer's managers were the kind of people who think, "Why should I encourage people when they're just doing their job?" Well, here's an answer. How important to you are your top performers? Effective leaders and managers encourage their people. You know, I was talking with John, an accomplished sales leader, a chief sales officer, and I had asked him his secret. And he said, "You know, for me, with every sales rep, as I'm working with a sales rep, even if they did 99 things wrong, I want to find the one thing they did right and make a big deal about it. I encourage them in that, and they'll do it again. Then we can build on it and add the other skills that they need." So when you tell someone that they've done something right, that's how they know they should do it again. When you make them feel appreciated for it, you make them want to do it again. So John, when I asked him about his secret to his leadership and sales success, he said, "If I have to boil it down to one word, it's encouragement." So the question, as we're talking today, how do you encourage your team members in a way that's sincere, that's effective, and doesn't just come across as empty cheerleading? Well, I want to give you three specific skills, three qualities that you can invest in to become an effective encourager. These are not hard. They're simple to do. You just have to think about them. So the first of these skills is to be specific. And you're going to be specific about two things. You want to be specific when you're encouraging somebody about both what they did and why it mattered. So for instance, you might say, "Listen, I really appreciate the extra time you put in with that customer, or with solving that patient's complaint, or resolving our client's issue. I saw the extra work. And the customer called me and told me what a difference that made to them." Or the patient noted in her comments when she checked out about how meaningful it was to her and how much her family and she appreciated it. So in these situations, you've been specific about what they did, the extra time, the effort to resolve the situation, and why it mattered. The patient's response, the customer's reaction, the person renewing their account, whatever the result was, you want to be specific about what they did and why it mattered. What were the results? That's another way of connecting what to why. Okay, the second aspect of your encouragement is you want it to be meaningful to the person, the specific person in front of you. Now, a thank you always works. "Hey, I really appreciate that. Thank you." Never goes out of style. But we want to take it to another level. What is meaningful to that individual? And this is where you want to get to know your people. So, for example, I had a guy who worked on my team at one point. His name was Frank, and Frank had played professional football. But despite having played professional football, tackling people in front of thousands of screaming fans, Frank did not care for public recognition. If I were to call Frank up in front of a staff meeting and say, "Hey, round of applause for Frank. Frank, here's your plaque," and make a big to-do about him, Frank would kind of turn purple and then he wouldn't talk to me for a week. He hated that kind of public recognition. But if I could privately say, "Frank, I really appreciate what you did here. Here's why it mattered. Hey, listen, I know your son has a soccer game this Friday. Why don't you take off an hour early and catch his game? I'll cover the rest of your work." Frank, who was all about his kids and his family, that kind of appreciation and encouragement would nearly make him cry. He'd tear up and he'd feel very seen and appreciated. That was meaningful to him. So what's meaningful to your people? Well, the easiest way to find out is just ask them, "Hey, how do you like to receive recognition for a job well done? What's meaningful to you?" And, you know, you might have people say, "Hey, money's always good." And of course it is. But what beyond that? What else? Finding out what's meaningful for your folks can be fun. And it's one of my favorite things to do as I'm working with the team is to get to know them in those ways. You know, you can have fun with it. Like if you take your team out for coffee, if you're located together, or even if you're not, you can send people individually, but get their coffee orders, bring it to them. And when you do, get an itemized receipt because everybody has their favorite drink, their half calf, no foam latte, whatever they're drinking. Get that itemized receipt and then write everybody's name next to their favorite drink and take a picture of it on your phone. Then you can wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months when you want to say thank you to an individual or to the team and maybe get them their favorite drink. You know, they'll have forgotten that you ever went, and it's one of those things that feels so good. It's surprising. Like, how did you know I like a pumpkin spice latte? Which I don't, by the way. Please don't send me a pumpkin spice. I'm more of a tea drinker. But when you do something like that that's individualized to the person, it makes a huge difference. And there's such a wide range of things that people can find encouraging that are meaningful to them. Maybe it's not a hot drink at all. Maybe it's their favorite hobby. Maybe it's something that they really enjoy. Maybe it's learning something more about their work. A stretch assignment. I knew somebody who, in nursing profession, who a really cool reward for her was just to get to stand in and watch a surgery perform. She had no interest in being a surgical nurse, but just watching what was happening and learning more about the process informed the post-surgery care that she provided. That was meaningful for her. Maybe it's time off. What's meaningful and personal for your people? So first, be specific. What did they do? Why did it matter? Next, make your encouragement meaningful to the person, the specific individual that you're recognizing. And on that note, I should mention a mistake that a lot of people make here is they will make the encouragement to that person in a way that the leader likes to be encouraged. So I was thinking about, I had a client, somebody attending one of our training workshops, and she was, as we were talking about this, she said, "Oh, my manager does this." I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, when he wants to say thank you for what we've done, he will send everybody these cupcakes from his favorite store. We all know that he loves this bakery. The thing is, I'm diabetic. I can't eat those cupcakes. So it's not meaningful to me." So that's the kind of thing we want to avoid as we're providing that meaningful encouragement. Okay, the third skill for effective encouragement that boosts productivity, energizes your team, your encouragement needs to be relevant to the work, to what you want more of. This is critical. And again, there are a couple mistakes that people make here. The first one is that you might encourage the results, but not pay attention to how people got those results. This happens all the time, and it's why we have so many people in the ranks of leadership who step on other people, and they're not treating people well, but maybe they got the results in a way that works short term. So if you've ever been in a staff meeting or something and somebody gets called up in front to be acknowledged, but everybody in the room is rolling their eyes and texting each other under the table, you know, WTF, that's a situation where somebody got the results, but the way that they got them was not something you want to encourage, but you just did. So you want to be careful with that. How did people do what they did? Encourage the results and the relationships, the way that they went about it. And then the other mistake is something that I've certainly experienced. This happened to me more than one occasion, but one of the worst examples. I used to, back in my JOB, when I was working in a larger organization, I was in the habit of getting to work early, and I was in my office before anybody else had arrived. And our CEO got there, throws open my door, lots of energy, and says, "David, you and your team should be so proud. You guys knocked it out of the park in this project. Great job. Well done." Then he shut the door and he was gone. And I was so upset. Why? Because it wasn't my project. His heart was in the right place. He was trying to encourage me for something I'd done well, but he didn't know what I was doing. And that was disheartening. Part of the reason, part of what makes encouragement so effective is because people feel seen. They feel appreciated for who they are, what they're doing. So knowing what they're doing makes a big difference. You want to make sure that you're both seeing your people, knowing what they're doing, and accurately being able to talk about that, making sure that you're paying attention to how they're doing what they're doing. And those are the things that you want to encourage. So when you're encouraging somebody for results and relationships, make sure it's specific. What'd they do? Why did it matter? It's meaningful to the person or the people that you're encouraging. That it's relevant, specifically relevant to what you want, both in the way that they did it as well as the results they achieved. So when we're talking about this third element of encouragement, this third quality, relevance, it's seeing people, it's seeing the work that they did, it's seeing the way that they did it and making sure that you're really connected to that. You'll get more of what you encourage. That's where the energy comes from. You get less of what you criticize or ignore. So when you're encouraging, you got to make sure you're encouraging the right people for the right things. All right. People need encouragement. Whether they're new to their role, whether they're a high potential top performer, everyone needs to be seen. Everyone thrives with encouragement, but everyone also receives that encouragement differently. And you can't call somebody up and acknowledge them in public for if they're a person who would really prefer to be more private. Make sure that your encouragement's specific, that it's meaningful, and it's relevant. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you're ready to get that encouragement out there, I want to encourage you to make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills that are going to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence that you deserve. And want to make sure you get this guide that you can print out and use to walk your team through some of these same communication skills together that are going to help you reduce the team stress, improve morale, productivity. And you can find that guide and print the whole thing out or share it digitally with your team at letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. Thank you, as always, to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services. And if I'm being specific, right? What does Brooke do? Why does it matter? Brooke makes us sound good. She's tight with her turnarounds, always does a good job. Brooke has been with us from the beginning. Every single of these 300 episodes, Brooke, you've made happen. Really appreciate you. As well as Laura at Brooke Marketing for all of her work helping produce the episodes on the posts and the things that go into that. Laura, appreciate you and all your work on this episode and all the other episodes. All right. Listeners, until next time, find those ways to practice specific, meaningful, relevant encouragement. People don't get enough of it, and you will be a leader. Not only that people want to follow, you'll be a leader that you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.